All right. Galatians chapter 2. We left off last week. Week before last. We left off at verse 13. Okay. We know that Peter had just approached Paul. Just confronted Paul. That's in verse 11. We'll just go back and pick that up. Verse 11. Chapter 2. Right. Chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Why was he to be blamed? What did Peter do? Angela, you hear me say it. What did Peter do? He was still showing a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. And the Lord had already showed him there was no difference. And Paul had sealed the deal, so to speak, to let him know there was no difference. And Peter went to Antioch and he began to fellowship with the Gentiles. And, you know, I thought about that. But he began to fellowship with the Gentiles. And Paul said, I had to withstand him. I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He went against what had become the present truth. That means if there was a past truth and then a present truth had been revealed and you go back, right, are you right or wrong?
Wrong?
You're wrong. That's why Paul, when Peter went back to the past truth, Paul had to rebuke him to the face. Now that's, and this wasn't years later. The reason I say that is because right now we live 2,000 plus years into the present truth. And people still need to be withstood to the face because they go back.
Was it really
a chapter we
on? Two.
Was it really the truth back then? The way that Jewish people felt about
11.
Gentile?
Was
it really?
Yeah, it was the truth because remember where the Lord had the three, Peter, James, and John,
right,
who were the pillars. When he began to introduce the truth, now there was a period where it is coming in. It's not widespread. So you have to have some room for people to adjust. And that's what Paul, when Paul goes to the cities that he goes to, he's proclaiming it.
Right, right.
That's why he says two words that he uses all the time.
Grace.
Well, that too. Two more words. But now. That if I say but now, that means that something else was then. If I might say, there was a time where there was a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. But now, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So you got to find out who's this guy saying but now. And what is his authority to say but now? And we found that out that Paul is, and that's what I think where you talk. The first thing to understanding the Bible is to find out where you go get the information for today. That's anybody. If any of us, you are in a position where you can talk to somebody, you got to know where to start. And if you could tell him, if you can let him know where to, you can, if he can find, you know, if you go to the mall or something, and it's a big mall, and you look at this big chart, and then there's a little bitty arrow that says you are here. So you can understand where you are in relation to the other stores if you know where you are. If you know where you are in God's program, I saw you point to this chart. If you know where you are in God's program, then you'll know where you, how the rest of this relates to you. At least you'll know where to start. You can say, well, if I'm here, if I read something back there, I know it's what? That's it. If I read something up there, I know it's what? If I'm reading something that's right here, I know it's what?
But now.
That's a good place to start, isn't it? And if you can get somebody to see that, at least they'll know.
But I'm saying, like, how Peter was, when he went to Cornelius' house, how he felt about Gentiles. That wasn't in God's plan that he should feel that way. That was mostly Jewish religious teaching.
Well, again, you remember we talked, how long had there been a distinction? You're talking about a distinction from here. 2,000 plus years. So if you've been taught that for 2,000 years, and then and God himself told Peter three times to establish the matter.
Because they hadn't. When he sent the disciples out, he didn't send them out to go to the Gentiles.
And they knew. Yeah. They knew there was no difference. They knew there was a difference.
At that point, yeah.
They knew that it was a difference. When Paul, Peter, being the leader, that's why God revealed it to Peter, because he was the leader.
Right.
And Peter, 1, 2, 3 times. And he finally, he says, go. And he goes. Can you imagine? He goes from Jerusalem to Cornelius. And he's getting up there. He gets up there. He gets to the house, knocks on the door. Cornelius comes out. And he says, what do you want? That's what he said. He says, I'm here.
I'm not sure why.
What do you want? One thing he did know, even after God told him to go, he says, I'm not even supposed to be here. Because it's stuck in his mind.
I'm awful.
He's in the present truth in his mind. But
I'm not supposed to step into a Gentile's house.
We're not even supposed to keep company.
Oh, okay.
His mind is still in his present truth, but God is telling him that I'm changing that.
Right.
And then Paul comes, and then he really just slams the door shut on it.
Right.
And Peter began to embrace that. So much so that he does what in Galatians?
Defends Paul.
No, I mean, Peter, he not only defends him, but he does what?
He joins
him. He joins who?
Gentiles.
He's eating with the Gentiles.
I'm new to this. I've got a question.
Okay.
What is a Gentile?
As Michael said, what is a Gentile? That's anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile.
We're all Gentiles. Everybody in this room.
I might be a Jew.
Huh?
He might be a Jew.
Oh. Wait, no, you're wrong. I stand corrected.
But
I'm just wondering what it was.
Yeah, that's you know what? And
anytime
you got a question, yeah, just stop us because we know that you're new, but it shouldn't stop you from asking what you want to ask because it'll be a. Like it was taking you through the chart there,
yeah.
You'd be here for like 3 hours.
I'm talking about to sit down.
So, but that's what happened, Gerald. And he says, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And what? But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the circumcision is another word for Jews. That's all. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he said, if you know now that there's no difference, why would you act like there is a difference? Why, if you know that we're not under this yoke anymore, why would you put them under a yoke? All right. You know, when he said this, when Peter did eat with the Gentiles, you know what I wonder? What did he eat?
Don't go there.
No, what? What did he eat? Which is this all speculation. You know, Jews don't eat pork, right, among other things. We just pick out pork, you know. But I wonder.
Fish.
He didn't say fish.
Yeah.
Catfish.
Where is it at?
But what's that? Isn't it? Oh, yeah. Well, I think he just didn't say that for any, you know, a reason, just to leave it out there, because you know it had to be significant. For he didn't say, well, he fellowshiped with the Gentiles. He said he did eat with the Gentiles. Anyway, it was bad enough that he was there, maybe to the other Jews. So anyway, he said, verse 19, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now this is, but now. This is Paul giving some information. And he gives two things that we have a problem with today. He says, not by what?
Works of the law.
But by what?
The faith of Christ.
Faith of Christ. That's the battle right there. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about this a lot in the past. If you had to put that in your own words, what would you say?
Performance.
So, let's see. Can you see that? Would be what? What does that say?
Your performance.
You say my performance.
My performance.
Us. Anybody in here?
Right.
Because that's back then. Now we're talking about right now. He says you're not. Justified, which means y'all scared to talk to me? Y'all not, what?
To be seen righteous before God.
To be seen righteous before God. You're not seen righteous before God by what?
By performance.
Now you got it in your mind what you need to do, and you can put your list right here. Every one of us, we can probably rattle off 10 or 12 things that we think we have to do.
The Ten Commandments.
See, there's one right there that we think we have to do. He says, it's not by your performance. When God looks at you, he doesn't say what you got to show for yourself. Let me see. What can you do? What can you do to please me? And then you said, well, I go to church. Right? I don't go every week, but I do go. Or I don't do whatever. Whatever you are, I don't do this. Whatever you think that would offend him.
Everybody's list is different.
Everybody's list is different, right? You got 10, you got 10, I got 10, you got 10. So,
right.
What? I don't do this.
And I do this.
I do this. do, right. You do this. You do. I do this. Whatever it is. Right?
It's how I came in here thinking everything I did a good thing. But
that it was going to your account.
It was putting me closer.
See, that's what people think. Or, this is one people use all the time. I love everybody. Don't they? Don't they say that? I love everybody. I treat everybody right. All I mean, this you can go on and on and on. That's what they might amount to, right? What you think is good, but the fact stands: is you got. I'm not saying this. God is saying this. He says you're not justified by what? Which is your performance. So if you could just understand that one thing is I got to do good to please God. Because you know that God demands what?
Perfection.
Perfection. You know that. You know that what I'm doing is what?
No.
Is not perfection. You know that he says, I want you sinless, and you know that you are what?
Sinning.
You know. I know that. I knew that. And what people do is tell you, you're just not performing hard enough.
You're doing it right.
That's what they says. Or they give you their list. And say, well, not that. Here's this list. And now you got 20. Your 10 plus his 10. And then soon you say, you know what? What's the use?
Oh, yeah.
I'll just go back to living like I used to live. That's what I did.
And that's what happened.
I know it happened to me. I went to church, sat in the back, and I listened to that man preach a whole hour, telling me how great God was, how much he loved me. And then at the very end, he would say, you ready? You ready? You ready to perform? And I would say, I would look at my list and look at what I wanted to give up and what I didn't want to give up. And then I knew, I said, well, if I can't give up all on my list, there's no way I could be justified. So I said, forget it. I'll just take my list and go home. And so I went back. But this is how easy it is. This is your performance versus what?
Christ.
There we go. Now, this word right here, don't let it throw you off. Everybody familiar with the Marines, right?
Yeah.
What? All right. Anybody else? Do you know what she just said? Semper Fi, which means what?
Always, always,
Always. Always what?
Oh, okay.
Always faithful. Always faithful. What's that?
He said, why don't they just say always faithful?
you have to track a Marine down and ask him that. But here's what that means. Is if he's always faithful, that means that his performance is perfect, right?
Not necessarily.
Very necessary.
Jesus Christ.
That means we're not talking about you and I.
He's talking about Marine.
Oh no, no. This,
right.
That's we just use their slogan. No, their slogan. We're talking about.
I'm new on this.
Yeah, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is always faithful.
Yeah.
So his performance is always what?
Perfect.
Always perfect. So he doesn't. If God puts a list on him, guess what?
He can carry it out.
He can carry it out, and he carried it out, didn't he? He carried it out. Now, verse 17. He says this. 2:17. Galatians 2:17. He says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He says, okay, we realize that our performance doesn't measure up. So what we want is we want him to justify us, don't we? You remember what Paul in Romans 7, he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Didn't he say that? The things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. He says, who shall rescue? Who shall deliver me? He's looking for out. Who shall deliver me? Who? We look at this and you say, Job asks a question. He says, how can a man be just with God?
Christ.
We look through Christ. So he says, who shall deliver me? Right. I thank God through
faith.
Well, through Christ. Right. I thank God for him. Didn't he? Romans 8. Hold your hand in Galatians in Romans 8.
Let's see.
I
turn
that off.
I'm sorry. Oh, we who are Jews by nature, not sinners by Gentile. You missed that verse.
Did I? Okay, I'll go back. We'll pick that up in a minute. Romans 8, verse 2. He says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For, and he further explains it, for what the law could not do, right? Uh-huh. For what the law could not do, in that it was what? And that it was weak through you. It was weak through you. It was weak through the flesh. What the law, what could the law not do?
Justify you.
He said, verily, if there had been a law given that could give life, it would have been given. He says this, but the performance, and he says, now, God,
sending
his own son.
In the likeness
of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemn sin in the flesh. Look.
Why did you answer the reading when you could have
said he already know.
Well, I'm saying he sent his son.
He wants participation.
Interactive.
Right.
He sent his son to condemn sin in the flesh. You know what he says? When he walks, when he told the Jews in John, he said, which of you Jews convinces me of sin? That means, what you got on me? What do you have on me? They couldn't look at him and say, ah. They tried. You know, they would do this. They would say, from that time they began to watch him that they might take him in his words.
Trap him.
They want to trap him. They want to trip him to see where's the sin. Because if we could find, that man blasphemeth.
You know, it's interesting that that's what they got him on. God, what did the soldier at the foot of the cross say?
Surely
this man looks
at
something. Yeah.
He said, we suffer aright.
Righteously. I mean, rightly.
But this man, yes. He said, this man had done
nothing
amiss. They couldn't find anything on him. Because he was fulfilling the righteousness that God required. He said, that's what I'm coming for. The law couldn't do this. The law couldn't make you righteous. That's what you said. Is that right? Yeah. The law couldn't make you righteous. Your performance does not make you righteous. Maybe to your peers. But the judge is God. He's the one that does the evaluation. And he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
The standard of God.
So if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God,
all are dead.
Guilty. That means, and that was a question. If that's the case, what hope do we have? But God, he said in Romans 3, flip back to Romans 3. Then we'll go back to Galatians.
3:1.
3:19-20. He says, now we know that's Paul saying, he's just chalking it up that you know some things. He says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are what?
Under the law.
He says, to those who want to perform, well, here's what the law says. He says this, but that every, he says, saith to them who are under the law, not that you can do it, but that what? every mouth might be stopped. Stopped from what?
Bragging.
From bragging. About what?
Boasting. About being able to perform.
About being able to perform. What do you do? I do. And then the next guy, what do you do? Well, I...
How many laws did they have?
Well, they had a lot.
400 or something.
It was quite a few. But he says that all the world might be what? Become guilty before God. That's what God put the performance there. So you can say, I can't do that. I can't do that. But you put it to people and they says, well, you don't have to do it, but you got to want to do it. No. No, that's not what he said.
Or try.
Or try, right. God honors your effort. No. He said that he put it there to shut your mouth. Our mouths. Now, therefore, because the law was given to shut your mouth, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what?
Justified
in his sight. So you won't get there, and no matter, like I said, you say, well, I tried hard. That's like, if he requires, I used to do this with the kids. You draw a bullseye. And God says, I'm here. That's what I want. You want to please me? You got to hit this.
Every time.
Every time.
You can't miss not one.
Not one time.
Man.
Some people hit here. Some people hit there. Some people hit here. Some people hit there. Some people might hit there in their own eyes. They might compare themselves with each other, but they all missed the boat. He says, only one person did this. That's my son. And he says, now, can you compare to that? All who hit the bullseye, come forward. All who hit the bullseye, come forward. Do you remember that story in John where they caught the woman taken in adultery?
Right.
And he had the older ones and to the younger ones. And the Lord said, they said, we caught her. We caught her in the act. And he says, okay. He stoops down and wrote in the sand. And then he stands up and he says, let he that was out sin cast the first stone. And you know what you heard? Rocks. You heard rocks falling. You heard rocks hitting the ground. From the eldest to the youngest, they begin to walk away. You know, see, when you're older, you have a better perspective about yourself, don't you? You've been through a few things, and you know that you're rotten.
Yep.
You know it. You're very familiar with yourself. See, like Michael, little Michael and Mia, they're not there yet. You remember the story in Joshua where he said, all of you are not going into the promised land except your little ones who didn't know good and evil. Just give them a little time, though.
It's coming.
You know, my niece came over one day. This was a few years when she was younger. She came over and I wanted to keep her busy, so I had some crayons, pads, And I put them down on the table and so I could keep her busy. He gave her the 64 box of Crayola crayons, pad, and said, okay, you color there until it's time for you to go. So she did. She played. She was playing really nice. So when my sister came to pick her up, I said, oh, she was real good. So walked to the door, and they was leaving. And I got to the door. Guess what was on the door? Crayon marks. I thought, wow. And I laughed to myself. I said, that's sin.
Right.
That's sin.
She didn't know no better.
She knew. She knew. You know, if I've given you a pad.
In the boundaries of her habitation.
The door was not.
But see, now that I'm older, well, I knew it then, but now, you know what? As people get older, you're familiar with the old man. Sin. You know, when he calls, you come.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a sinner, when he calls, you come. If he says jump,
how high?
Because you're a slave to sin. Even the man who thinks he's good, like Paul, he said, I don't do any of the stuff that you're talking about. I'm religious. But he was, matter of fact, he was out here. He was the farther he went into his religion, the farther away he went from God. So, verse 320, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, Gerald, but now.
We're back in Galatians, right?
No, 321, Romans 321. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is what? Manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. 22. Even the righteousness, what?
Of God.
Even what God requires. He says, but now it's revealed. It's made known. You want to know how you could be right with God? He says, Paul says, but now it's made known. He says this, the righteousness of God, which is by
faith
of
Jesus Christ.
Upon all, what he says, unto all, and upon all them that what?
Believe.
For there is
no difference.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He says, but now the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God without performance is made known. He says, you're telling me, that was Paul's first sermon. He says, men and brethren, in Acts 13, he says, be it known unto you now that you could be justified from all things that the law of Moses could not do through this man. He says, not your works, his works.
Right.
Not your performance, his performance. Not your righteousness, his righteousness.
What's the prophet?
What is the prophet?
Yeah. But being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
That's those guys back here.
I don't see no guys over there.
That's just hold tight and chew on them. Chew on those things. So he said that's how you get it. Now back to Galatians. Verse 18. He says, This is Paul. He says, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." So Paul's saying, he says, if I build again, and he's, if I build again the things that I destroyed, he says, I make myself a transgressor.
Wasn't that what he was accusing Peter of doing?
That's he's talking to Peter. He says, listen, you know you don't get it by performing. You know you don't get it from this old system. He says, if I build again the thing that I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Right.
Listen, God had told Paul, tell Peter that the middle wall is down. There's no law. There's no performance to put on people now. And then Peter says, no performance? Great. I knew that. I could tell. And so he begins to eat with the Gentiles. Then the Jews come up and they say, what are you doing? They begin to move away.
Peter Barnabas.
So that's
peer pressure.
If the middle wall is torn down and you rejoice in that, but then when people come who like the wall, you begin stacking bricks back up. What are you doing? You're making yourself a what?
Transgressor.
You're going against the present truth. And that's what Peter was doing when those certain came from James. Peter and Barnabas and those other Jews began erecting the wall again. And Paul had to go to them and say to Peter, to the face, before them all,
tear down this wall.
Simon Peter, tear down this wall. All right. That's what Ronald Reagan said that to Mr. Gorbachev. Okay. Verse 19. He says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We just found out what the law was designed to do was to do what? Not just to reveal sin.
Lead you to Christ.
Not just to lead you to Christ.
To condemn you.
To condemn you, to shut your mouth.
Right.
About your performance.
Right.
And the natural result would be, well, the law was designed. You know what it was designed to do?
To show you you. Show you sin.
Show you what is right versus wrong, in a sense.
It showed you that, but it showed you were wrong. But it was designed for something else.
To show how holy God is.
You can't do it, right? Look at the verse. I, through the law, am what?
Dead
to the law. So the law was designed to do what?
Kill.
To kill you. Yes.
She got it.
It was designed. You know what? What do you think when God told Abraham, he says, I want you to circumcise your boys?
Death to the flesh.
I want you to circumcise your boys. And this was after Abraham had Ishmael. Who was the son of promise?
Isaac.
So when Abraham, God said, listen, you're going to have a son. Abraham said, great. Time went by. He says, nothing's happening. And Sarah says, well, maybe it's through your own performance.
No.
So go and get her. And he does.
Go and perform.
And it happened. And he says, I did it. We did it. So Ishmael is born, and then 13 years later, he says, well, no, it's not him. And he said, well, why not? Why not? You did it through your own work.
Performance.
He said, it's not. And Abraham said this, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Romans 4. Romans 4:18. He says, Abraham, this is Abraham, implied subject here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. This is Abraham. He's talking about Abraham. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because Abraham was fully persuaded that God could perform what he promised, therefore, it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, he tells a story about Abraham. When Abraham was 99, right? Now you do the math. Abraham was 99 when he had Isaac. He was 86 when he had Ishmael. I know it don't mean nothing.
Number of rebellion.
It was
right.
Now, he said that, but Abraham here, he says he was fully persuaded that what God promised, that he was able to what? Perform. God said, now he waited till Abraham was dead. Dead. The law was designed to
kill
you. Abraham is dead. His body is dead. So that means he cannot
perform.
Or Sarah could not
perform.
So they have to rely on what?
On somebody else's performance.
On somebody else's performance. So they wait. And God waited. He says he's good and dead now. He's through trying. He says, now, let me do my.
It'll take them 13 years to get it, right?
Let me do my work. And he steps in and he does his work. And then they have the son of promise. And he says, why did God write that story? Was it just to tell us about Abraham? He said, no. It wasn't just to tell us about Abraham. It was for you and for me. For what? That we might believe what he says about Jesus Christ. He says he sent him for us. So you can quit struggling, trying to please him. So you can get your hand out the pie. To stop trying to impress him. He says, I've been impressed. This is my, in whom I'm
well.
Hear ye him. He said, that's why it was written. He says, now, he imputed to Abraham righteousness because Abraham believed him. You want righteousness? You want righteousness?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
He says, now, here's how you get it. He says, you just believe that God sent his son. He died for your offenses. We call it sin. Sin. He died for your sin. Sins, sin, and the sinner.
Come on now.
Sin, sin, and the sinner. He died for our sins, was buried, and because the sacrifice was accepted, he was raised again for our
justification.
He says, you trust him? You trust him? And he said, you know what? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you for without works. I'll give you righteousness. He says, I'll impute it to you. You know, it's I love that word because you know what it's I'm giving you something without you even having anything to do with it. And you don't even, you know what, if somebody walked up to you and said, if you knew that maybe you owed $10,000, and somebody walked up to you, stuck that in your pocket, you go home, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. He gets undressed, he takes off his pants, reaches his pocket. Oh my God. My debt is paid. But God says, he says, I'm imputing this to you. He said, but I'm telling you, it's in your pocket. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You know, this guy came to Jesus. He says, Lord, heal my son. Heal my son. And he says, what's wrong with him? And he began to tell him, and he says, okay, go home. He says, go home. And he says, okay. He went home. He believed him. And when he got home, the boy was well.
There he is.
And he says, he says, when did he begin to amend? And it says, about 3. So he knew that I left here about 3. That's imputation. He says, just believe it. Do you believe that? Sitting right here, I wasn't told this. Sitting right where you are, you could be righteous if you believe his death, burial, and resurrection. His righteousness was imputed to you. If you believe. Not where are you in this?
Nowhere.
Where's your performance in this?
Nowhere.
Where is his faith in this? His faithfulness in this? It's all over it.
All up
and he's asking you, he says, if we believe, it will be imputed to you. In Romans 10, he said this, Christ is the end of the law
for righteousness.
Y'all, Christ is the end of your performance for righteousness. Don't you?
Jews didn't understand that.
Right. Forget the Jews. I'm talking about us today.
Right.
Us now.
We don't get it.
Is when you gonna stop performing? All right, let's. What's that?
When they bury me.
You don't have to. What's that?
When they bury me.
When they bury you. he want to bury you right here.
what you just said, right? All you got to do is believe, right? But to a regular man, he still thinks he got to do something. At least I gotta pitch in. I gotta do something.
I gotta get right.
I gotta do something.
But see, that's the sin nature.
Yeah.
Right. I gotta get right.
Sin is telling you.
Right.
Pride.
It's so simple.
No, that's.
It's so simple.
But see, and that's what law and grace. You know what Paul said? This he says when he was having had his infirmity. He says, I besought the Lord three times that he might remove this from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in
weakness.
He said, you know, if a guy is drowning, they tell you don't fool with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Until he what?
Until
he give up.
He's gonna take
because as soon as you get out, right, you as soon as you get out to him, and he says, okay, my strength is made perfect. It reaches its desired effect when you give up. When you finally get to a point where you say, you know what? There's nothing I can do. I cannot. I'm done.
The question, and the thing is, the law wasn't even given to us, the Gentiles. It was for the Jews, right?
Right.
So it had nothing to
do with us. And that's what. Exactly. You see, that's. And it was a schoolmaster. But the thing is that's like you said, the sin nature. Way back in the beginning, the knowledge of good and evil. As soon as they take that, and from then on, man has always tried to establish his own righteousness.
Yeah.
He wants to approach God. I think he wants to approach God the way he wants to approach God, and say, you like that, don't you? God, what about that? I spent a lot of time on that. Cain, he says, I tilled the ground. I picked the best that I had. It's arranged nicely. My best basket. And he takes it to God and he says, there, I'm waiting for the fire. Look how good I am. And then Abel comes. He says, is this what you want, God? He lays it up there. Poof. Here, just sitting there. He's just there. And his countenance fell. And he, you know what? He says, you mean to tell me he don't want nothing in here? Nothing. And he looks at his brother and said,
I hate you.
Son of a gun.
Because you know what? The guy looks at you who rests in his grace, the religious guy.
Yep.
And he says, I hate you.
Yes. Oh.
You're not having to earn it. He's
been
working real hard.
That's because he's never at rest. He's never at rest up here. Because he knows. He knows. He says, well, I wonder was the fruit ripe enough? Did I put enough in there? Just what, right?
It's kind of like me, don't listen. As well as he should.
Right. You gotta listen to what God wants.
What did he want?
He got what he wanted. He said this. I'm done. Let's stop. I mean that's just time frame. So let's Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we spent around your word. Lord, give us understanding about the things that we've covered. Help us to believe your word. Help us to hear you when you speak about the righteousness that is by faith. Help us to trust you and your provision that you've given us through your son. Help us to trust him and only him, not our performance. And Lord, we just thank you for the time we spent here. Strengthen our hearts and lighten our minds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.